Vectis Radio.
Welcome to Maggie Talks To, a series of in-depth conversations with people who live and work here on the Isle of Wight.
So I'm here today with Kay Marriott, JP, and she's going to tell us how she got to where she is today. So, hello, Kay.
Hello.
It's lovely to see you again. I haven't seen you for ages.
I know. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. So, were you actually born on the island?
I was.
Yeah.
Yes. 1958.
You don't have to tell us your age.
184 York Avenue. I'm very proud of being an East Cowes girl.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and I lived there for a short period of time, then moved to Ryde.
Right.
I've lived in most places on the island, actually, at one time or another. I did move off to the mainland in my early 20s for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But then made my way back.
Okay. So you went to school locally in Ryde?
I went to, initially, Grange Road School in East Cowes.
Right. Is that still there?
I don't believe it is anymore. Right. It may be as some sort of studio, I believe. But then. And then I went to primary school in Ryde.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just when the comprehensive system came in. So instead of doing the 11 plus, we then went to a high school.
Right.
By which time we'd moved back to Whippingham.
Yep.
And so I went to Cowes High School. And was there until I left in 1976.
Right. And did you want to go on to university, or did you want to leave school then and go to work? Or?
I had no idea.
At all. Like a lot of us, yeah.
My sister, well, we talked about what are you going to do when you leave school, and my sister had already gone into nursing. She was 14 years older than me.
Right.
So was a real role model for me, and not really having any other thoughts about what I wanted to do, I thought I'd go into nursing.
Okay.
And was very fortunate, got into the Isle of Wight School of Nursing, as it was at the time, and started my training in 1976.
And did you enjoy it?
Loved it.
Well, every bit of it? Or were there bits you didn't like?
There was some... It was a real eye-opener, it's sort of when you're 18 years old and you see things which you never expected to see.
Yes, or never wanted to see again.
Yes, you grew up quite quickly.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole learning and learning new things, meeting new people, and just... It was really busy, and I liked being busy as well.
Yeah. So which bits did you like the best in your nursing career?
Oh, gosh. I think early on it was actually learning new things.
Yeah.
It was a lot of study initially, even though I think it's changed slightly in as much that we were a bit more hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
You learnt on the job, so
yes.
to speak.
Did you have written exams and things?
Unwritten exams,
yeah.
So a bit of studying. But it was the camaraderie as well.
Right.
It was sort of all there doing, having one sort of purpose to look after people in mm-hmm. all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
And the variety, because as a student nurse, you got to move around all the different disciplines,
yeah.
all the different departments. So you've got a taster of everything.
Yep.
And I, at that point, I actually loved what we used to refer to, the geriatric
yes.
unit, which, of course, is elderly care. I loved that, listening to people's stories.
Yeah, they're fascinating, aren't they?
And, so I was more inclined to that initially. But then, as I say, went did surgical, did medical wards, and every time you were learning new skills... And learning about different diseases and how they manifest themselves and
right.
treatments.
So you worked hard, and did you play hard as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there were a few nursing homes. I didn't live in. I had friends that did, but, you know, a few parties.
Yeah.
And St Mary's then had a really thriving social club.
Yes.
Which we used to spend high days and holidays and days off in, playing various games. Darts, yep. Got quite good at darts.
It doesn't exist now, does
no,
it?
No, no, sadly. Well, I say sadly, it's where the ambulance station is now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a real thriving community.
It was, had a bar and everything, didn't it?
It did, indeed.
Yeah. Can't be bad, can it? So once you'd finished nursing, or you hadn't finished nursing or anything else, what else did you do?
So once I'd qualified,
yes,
I was on the mainland at that point. Mm-hmm. My then husband, we moved back to the island. He got a job on the island, and I went and worked as a practice nurse.
Yes,
which was a very different way of working.
That's in the GP surgery.
In the GP surgery, so you're dealing with more frontline primary, what we call primary care.
Yes.
So it was a different ward work, and loved it. Absolutely loved it. Again, met a new group of people, learnt a massive amount of skills, and was there for a number of years, and then started a family.
Yeah.
Still carried on working as much as possible, even when the children were quite little, and that was nursing in primary care in GP practice.
Yes. You could fit that in around
yes.
children, yeah.
And then I was very lucky that I was able to get a job in an outpatient department. So
right.
again, that was Monday to Fridays, no nights, and it was like bank holidays off, so I could work around
yeah.
the children. And that's where my career really did take off, in a way, because it was working in the sexual health service
yep.
at St Mary's. And I learned huge amounts, and we were able to not only care for people, but there was a lot of health promotion as
yes.
well.
Yes.
So raising awareness about
yep.
how to keep yourself safe and everything that was available to people. And I continued working there for a number of years.
And you loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But you worked with very different people, young people to older people. And it was great that you could help people.
Yeah.
And also the fact that whereas we did health promotion, we were working and doing education in schools and education in the community. And it was the days when, in the 90s, when there was the big thing about HIV and
mm-hmm.
AIDS.
Yeah.
So the government were actually putting in quite a lot of money to obviously raise awareness
yes.
to that. And we were able to use it quite innovatively. I had some great people I worked with. And I think throughout my career, there was sort of people that I can pick out who were great role models, who were very supportive and encouraging.
Yes.
And through them, I was able to sort of do things that, you know, use sort of the opportunity to just help people in all sorts of different ways. Yeah.
But it sounds like you just enjoyed learning. And
yes.
And every day was a school day?
Every day is a school day.
Still is.
Still
yeah.
is, yeah, most definitely.
So we're always learning yeah. something, aren't we?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So you got the family.
Yep.
You're nursing.
Yep.
What's next?
Oh, gosh. So I carried on nursing. I was then offered the opportunity to run the department.
Oh, right.
So
could be the big boss.
Yes. But I was still hands-on, so
yeah.
to speak. So that it was a really nice role
yeah.
that I would still. And during that time, I was also able to do some other roles as well. So take sort of short time off and did things like the head of nursing for the community unit, which was a very different beast, but I learned so much from doing that.
Yeah.
I was also clinical director for the community unit, which again, it took me into areas which I'd never, ever experienced before. And I have to say that it was, I keep going back to the fact there was these people that would encourage role models, just say, you know, go and do it. You know, we're supporting you. So I was really fortunate.
Yeah. But
I think there's an element, you've just got to go for it as well.
I think so, yeah.
The number of times that I thought, I'm out of my depth a little bit, but everyone was very supportive. And I think we all get a bit of imposter syndrome sometimes, don't we? But it was, and I was so grateful for having those opportunities.
That's good. So did you ever think you'd be nursing when you were 14-ish doing your options?
No.
You had no idea?
No idea.
Not a clue.
No.
Not that that matters, does it?
No, I think at that time you were sort of more concentrating on exams, weren't you? Sort of, and school life, really.
Yeah. This is true,
Yeah, so I did that, and I had planned to sort of ease off a bit. And then COVID hit, obviously.
Yes.
And again, I was planning to leave then. I had planned to retire from running the sexual health service, but was asked to actually support setting up some COVID-related projects.
Okay.
So,
what did they involve? Or aren't you allowed to say?
No, it's fine. So I was... the testing centre at New Close, which we had on the island, was originally run by the local authority.
Right.
Actually, I think at Medina High School. And they sort of moved it into the NHS, and I was asked to go and support the development of that service at New Close. Yeah, I think so. Wrong place. New Close.
Yep.
And so I managed that service.
Yep.
And then we also, at that time...
What did that involve then?
So we recruited a number of people who would be... People would come in to get their tests done.
Right.
So it was a drive-through.
Oh, right.
So anybody that needed testing could come, get tested. We'd do the swabbing and then the results would get... Well, the specimens were taken off to the mainland, and then people would get their results.
Yeah.
But it was also working, making sure that the community, such as care homes or residential homes, were getting the testing as well.
Yes.
So it was all around the testing, around COVID. There was also running alongside that initially, I worked with the GP services, primary care, to see people who had COVID but weren't poorly enough to come into hospital but needed some intervention, a doctor's intervention. And rather than taking them into the surgery, which they did, obviously didn't want people with COVID in the surgeries, they would bring them to a unit that we set up at the hospital site.
Right.
So I worked with a number of the GPs on the island to cover that. And then, of course, we got the vaccinations. So I was, again, supportive of developing the vaccination service initially for the staff at the hospital and then people who were in positions that would come into contact, so prison officers, police, those in those sort of public services. And then, of course, as time moved on, it was to the public as well.
Yeah.
So
busy lady.
Yes, it was interesting times. I found it obviously it was challenging because of everybody having to stay indoors, but I went to work every day.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed it in a way, and I know that sounds a bit macabre, but actually getting out the house and being able to cycle into work every day. So it was sort of interesting times.
Yeah. So did everybody have to have all their...
PPE.
That's the stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, all that. There was lots of organisation around making sure everyone had the correct PPE.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was sort of COVID times.
So where did you have to get the PPE from? Did you have to order it, or was it ordered for you?
A lot of it arrived from the government.
All right.
So, you know, pallets and pallets of it. And we had to actually find somewhere to store it at one point.
I imagine you would, yeah.
And fortunately, there was someone who enabled us to use one of their warehouses.
Oh,
that's on
good.
The
Not in your living room, then?
Not in my living room, no. I think it would have filled it 10 times over.
Right, we're going to take a little break there for some adverts, and then we'll be back.
Vectis Radio.
We're back now with Kay, and she's going to tell us some more about her the COVID stuff. Where did you find the recruits from? Did they come to you? Or?
A lot of them were nursing staff who, for one reason or another, weren't actually working on the wards or elsewhere, maybe outpatients, which had been closed. Some of them were just from general public. We put an advert out.
Yeah.
And got quite a good response, and obviously there was lots of training that went with it for the testing, also not for the vaccination.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a good response.
That's good.
And lots of volunteers to help with the stewarding and things like that as well.
Did you get many people? I was going to say scared stiff because they might get COVID.
Oh yeah, I think there was a lot of anxiety around at the time. Understandably, for some people who had health conditions. But as we said, we had all the PPE and took all the precautions.
Yeah.
And the vaccinations obviously turned things around significantly to make it much safer for people. And that's sort of still going on in a very low-key way for those people who are eligible for it.
Yeah.
So, but at that time, obviously, I wasn't doing an awful lot else. I had started my JP magistrate's role back in 2019.
Yep.
And had a number of a year or so doing that, which was very interesting.
I'm sure it was. More to learn.
It was something I'd always wanted to do, but with the children being quite young, I thought, no, I'll sort of wait. And then someone suggested to me, maybe, you know, there's a recruitment drive coming up. Why don't you go for it? So I thought, why not?
Why not indeed?
And every time I sit in court, I learn something.
Yeah.
It's working with a great group of people, the camaraderie.
Yeah.
And a very different discipline to what I'd been used to
before.
Yes, so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And you get all sorts of different cases. We can't talk about specific cases, obviously.
Yeah,
everything
comes through the magistrates' court.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets moved on to a crown court.
Yeah.
But just because of the nature of it.
Yeah.
But you see a wide variety of cases.
Yeah. So it could be young people, old people.
Everybody is sort of anyone in the community, really.
Right. Didn't see me. So how long did the training take for that? Or was it as you go along?
There's quite a rigorous recruitment procedure.
Yep.
So obviously you apply. And there are certain criteria that you have to fulfil.
Mm-hmm.
Then an interview, face-to-face interview, which if you get through that, you have another face-to-face interview with a different panel. This is what it might be more slightly different now because I think a lot of things are done online.
Okay.
And then if you're successful, it was, I believe I recall, 4 days of training to understand procedures.
Yes.
You don't need to have a legal background.
No.
And I don't need to understand the law as such because you always have a legal representative in the court who will advise.
Yeah.
And then you actually start sitting.
Yeah.
And that's when you really start to learn.
Is it on your own or is there a panel?
There's a panel of three.
Right.
So there's the middle person. Usually it's the presiding judge who's done a little bit more of training than what they call the wingers.
Right.
And I'm a winger.
Right.
But it is all the three of you, you sort of discuss and make the decisions.
Yeah. That sounds really fascinating.
It is fascinating, yeah.
So do you have to have any specific qualification for that, or is it just something that we obviously need a bit of brain?
It's about it's life skills to a certain extent.
Right.
Integrity, fairness.
Yeah.
And it's about not being judgmental of people and listening and hearing and understanding the facts of the cases, really.
Because I imagine there must be some cases that are difficult to judge because of the person's background or perhaps lack of education themselves.
So so part of it is actually understanding what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
How much harm it may have caused.
Yeah.
And you look at mitigating circumstances. Yeah. So if there is something that's going on which actually could lessen the sentence possibly.
Yes.
Or in fact increase it.
Yeah.
So there's all these things that you weigh up.
Yeah.
And
it's not easy, is it? Because each case is different.
Every case is different.
Yeah.
Every case is different. So that it's about listening, really.
Yeah.
And as I say, the three of you can just discuss together.
Yeah.
And come to a decision.
So do you ever come away from that and think, I haven't had a very good day today, I'm feeling really sad for some people? Or
I think there are some sad cases.
Yeah.
I mean, you've alluded to the fact maybe that there could be some health issues, some mental health issues, lifestyles, people, no fixed abode, sort of think it's difficult, must be difficult for them.
Yeah.
But even so, it doesn't give them the excuse to commit a crime.
Absolutely not. No.
So
there's so much to think about, isn't there?
Yeah.
And are there arguments amongst the panel, or do you generally agree?
Rarely. I mean, sometimes there may be slightly difference of opinion.
Yeah.
But talk about it, discuss it, and that's why there's three of you. Because there's always then going to be two people that would agree.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever actually, we've made a decision that one person hasn't eventually sort of said, I understand why you're going in that direction.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting. But the staff in the court are fantastic. You've also, as I say, got a legal advisor with you. And they are they direct you and help as well. So
that's good.
It's really good. Yeah. And it's, as we said earlier, every day is a school day.
Isn't you learn it just, something. Yes. So a lot of what you've learnt before, although it's not necessarily relevant to being a magistrate, it can be brought in from
it's life past skills, experience. It's understanding. Yeah. It's people skills to a certain extent.
Yeah, brilliant.
So I enjoy doing that. And then when after COVID, I was really fortunate to be asked to be the High Sheriff.
You were, yes.
For the island in 2022.
Mm.
Which, again, brought a completely different set of skills.
Didn't it just,
Yeah. But I think the great thing about that was you get a smattering of what's happening on the island through working in the health service.
Yeah.
But I had never, ever appreciated the amount of volunteering, charitable works that go on, the people that give up their time for others, a true inspiration.
It is amazing, isn't it?
And what I found as the High Sheriff was just, it was a pleasure to meet these people, but also to be able to thank them for what they do. And I had some really interesting days out with
various things. But you were very recognisable as the High Sheriff with your, want of a better word, uniform.
Yes.
Or the garb you had to wear.
Yes, yeah.
Is that something you got off the shelf or was it made for you?
I had it made.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. there's the high show's sort of dress is based on the men's high show. So okay. It's, they wear their tights and the jacket and the mm-hmm. So the ladies is very similar, but the ladies have the jabot, sort of like the neck piece.
Yes.
And the hat with the ostrich feathers.
Yes.
And
the cuffs, didn't
and yeah, the cuffs as well. Yeah. So it's sort of, you've got an idea of what it should be.
Yeah.
When I first started looking into it, they sort of, the majority were either sort of dark blue or dark green. And I thought, but they said, you know, do it, do what you like. So I did. And so
you
I
didn't
went.
Go bright red then?
No. I went like a jade, bright sort of teal type colour.
Yes.
And lots of ostrich feathers.
Yes.
And there's a lady who makes dresses on the island. It was mainly wedding dresses. And I approached her and said, this is the sort of thing I want. Can you do it? And she worked with me on it and it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
She did exactly what I wanted. And so I was so pleased with the outcome.
I did notice, though, that when our queen died, you had a black...
I did, yes. So I
made for the same person.
No, that was one I had in the wardrobe.
Oh, right.
So I sort of just put the cuffs and the jabot and a slightly different hat because obviously the teal one wasn't
not suitable
for that.
Not for that occasion. No.
So that I had for the more somber occasions. Yeah.
And. What sort of things amazed you most about your year as the High Sheriff?
I think, as I said, meeting people who give up so much of their time.
Yeah. Did you discover loads of charities that you never knew existed?
Never heard of. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And lots of community projects, and from young people to older people, animals, different animals. But... things like opening the county show was something which was a bit, it was just good fun, and riding on a tractor.
Did they let you drive it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You were privileged.
I was privileged. I don't know. I drove it round the actual arena. I don't know whether health and safety were approving of it. But
perhaps
we
won't ask.
No, we won't. The gilding of the beast, which is something which is familiar only to the island, where the prize beast gets painted with gold. That's like a
whole,
the fur of the brow.
Oh, right.
Between the horns.
Right.
So that's an annual event. So
right. Did you do that?
I did do that, yes.
Did you have the special brush?
It is a special brush, yes.
Was the beast...
huge.
Impressed?
I don't know. It didn't.
It was huge.
It was massive. Yeah. And also to actually spend some time with some of our emergency services as well.
So they do a fantastic job.
Amazing job. I went out with the police a few times, and we just don't appreciate on the amount of work that goes on in the background.
I know.
You know, all we see is the bit that sort of the blue lights or the police in uniform, but there's so much more to that.
Yeah.
And the ambulance, fire, and also how they all work with young people.
Yes.
And they have like a cadet arm. Which is fantastic, which really inspires young people
to
want to go
it?
On to do a career
yeah.
in those areas. So it was just a real pleasure to meet so many
absolutely
people.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Mm.
So would you do it all over again if you were asked?
I think once is enough.
Right.
It's quite a full-on year.
I bet.
And I loved every minute of it.
I suspect you had 4 or 5 appointments in one day.
Yes,
had to
some
get
days.
From one to here.
Yes, quick change in the car sometimes. yes, it was. It was very busy, but there were some really lovely events that happen every year, like the remembrance services, yes. the armed forces,
yes.
those sort of things which you get to go to, which yeah. you just wouldn't normally, again, and it's seeing what goes on in the background.
Yeah.
You mentioned about the Queen. That was the High Sheriff role is really just a ceremonial role.
Yeah.
Obviously, in times gone past, because they've been around since Anglo-Saxon time, the role.
I don't think you have.
No.
You're not
sometimes
quite
I
that
feel
old.
Like. but their remit was originally to collect taxes.
Right.
And look after the law and order on behalf of the monarch.
Right.
So there is a little bit of that still. But the two main things for the High Sheriff, should a monarch die on their watch, then they have to announce that to their county.
Right.
And so that's one of the sort of the major parts of their role, and the other one being a returning officer in the event of an election.
Right.
And, of course, as you mentioned, the Queen sadly passed away.
She did, yeah. So
that was the first time in 70 years that a High Sheriff had had to do that announcement. So that was quite a...
So where did you do the announcement?
In St Thomas's Square by the Minster.
All right.
Yes. Bit of a funny story, because all the High Sheriffs from the southeast of England, there's 55 High Sheriffs in the mm-hmm. country, and all the High Sheriffs from the south, southeast, southwest, we got together and used to go to each other's legal service or events. And we knew that we were going to have to make this announcement, and it's 2 days after the event.
Yeah.
And you have to wait for all the words to come through for you to the speech that you're going to give.
You can't make it up yourself.
No.
Oh, no.
And it's very wordy. It's got a bit of legal jargon. It's a bit of old-fashioned sort of wording as well. And we had an idea what it was going to say, but we had to wait for it to arrive. And we were going to do the announcement on the Sunday morning. So the Saturday afternoon, everybody's waiting for the email to come through. This is what you've got, the speech you've got to give. And it hadn't. So it got to about 6 p.m. in the evening, and we're all contacting. Have you seen it? Doing them. Suddenly this email arrived with an attachment. We opened the attachment, and it was all in Welsh.
That's nice.
Yes. So it was like, oh, goodness me. And the WhatsApp group was going absolutely bananas. Anyway, a few minutes later, the English version, I say English, the old English,
yeah.
a lot of it, version
and you went,
arrived.
Phew.
I went, phew. So I spent the rest of the evening
practicing
pacing
it.
Up and down,
yeah.
practicing it.
I'm going to get it right.
I'm going to get it right.
And yeah. did you?
I believe so.
Good.
Yes. Yeah, it seemed to be, but it was... It was a huge occasion, and I'm absolutely so privileged in a way to have been able to
yeah.
do that. Yeah.
The first time in
70 years.
Mm. We're going to take another little break now for some adverts, and then we'll be back again.
Okay.
Vectis Radio.
Right, we're back again. It is the final section with
okay.
the lovely Kay. After you were High Sheriff,
mm-hmm.
I mean, whilst you were High Sheriff, you couldn't do magistrate stuff.
No, you take a sabbatical
for that year,
yes.
And then you just go back to it.
Yes, went back to sitting as a magistrate and was still doing a little bit of work at the hospital, not hands-on, but some of the administrative stuff
yeah.
in the background.
Yeah.
But I was then asked if I would become a trustee of Age UK on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, right, yes.
So that was in 2023. And a lot of it resonated with me because of my background in nursing. So I joined them on the board and still am a trustee. And worked, again, working with great people.
Yeah.
That they do some amazing work on the island.
They do, don't they?
And it's then it's more about trying to raise the profile, and a lot of it then is around trying to get money.
Yes, of course.
Because, yes, as we know, all charities are struggling slightly.
Everyone is, yeah. There's only this little pot of money and everybody wants a bit of it.
Everybody wants a bit of it. So it's,
and they all deserve it, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I do some time with them.
Did I see that you do something with St John Ambulance?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So I was asked if I would become the county president for the St John Ambulance on the island.
Mm-hmm. Does that involve a uniform?
It does involve feathers. Not feathers, but it does involve a uniform, but very rarely. And so I went and met with them, and what a great group of people, mm-hmm, all volunteers.
Yeah.
And they are part of so many of the events that are held on the island, yep, throughout the year, but obviously mainly over the summer season. Yep. You'll find them there with the ambulance in their uniform. And it's just such a great, I mean, I don't know, a lot of them actually do work full time,
yep,
and give up their weekends and their evenings. The commitment is incredible.
Yes.
And of course, it's not just that; it's again behind the scenes, all the training,
absolutely,
everything else that goes with it. So I'm very proud to be the county president for the St John Ambulance unit, as I say, on the island.
While still working for Age UK,
yes. Well, it's being a trustee. It's obviously you get to know what's going on a day to day basis, but the team do all the work.
Yes.
I volunteer at Northwood House because that's near to where I live.
Mm-hmm. And that's a trust in itself, isn't it?
That's a trust, and I'm on the board of the trustees there as
well.
And what I love about that is that because they do lots of events,
they
get money wise goes straight back into the house because mm-hmm, the house is, it just constantly needs something doing
it
to it.
They've done brilliant work with it.
They've done incredible. Absolutely incredible work there. And it's a pleasure to, I go volunteer and work when there's events on and go and work in the cafe. And you just get lots of people coming in, lots of people I recognise and I don't know, but I love that. I love actually sort of dishing
out
the teas.
You're a real people person, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. Yes, I do that. And more recently I joined Cowes Town Council.
All right.
As a councillor. Which I'm learning a lot.
I'm learning a huge amount there.
Yeah. Yes. So it's very early days there, but I'm learning an awful lot there.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, so I keep busy.
Just a bit. And do you have a home life?
Yes. Yes. I've got a lot of family on the island, so I spend time with them. I do like exercise, so I do quite a lot of exercise and walking and various other sort of things. And I've got grandchildren on the mainland, so I go and visit them on a regular basis as well. So, yeah.
It's all busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, but it's all good stuff.
Yeah.
It's all
nice
things.
So what's next?
Oh, I don't know.
You haven't got your eyes on something that you might...
Maybe a couple of things, but I think that at the moment... I'm probably up to capacity.
Right.
So if I took on anything else, then I'd have to maybe look at dropping something. But at the moment,
And do you get any me time?
I do, yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah, I'm very lucky.
That's very important, isn't
it? It is very important. I think it's really important to look after yourself. So I do.
That's good.
A bit of gardening.
No. Do you have any pets at all?
I've got a cat.
Yes.
It's Pointless.
Is that its name?
No. She's about 19, and she doesn't like people very much.
Right.
So
has she never liked people?
No, not really. No. Right. So unlike cats that will sit on your lap and you can stroke them. She sort of comes in and gets fed and then she disappears again. So,
right.
Yeah, but she's quite sweet. But.
So what is her name?
Lily.
Oh,
Lily the cat.
Not Pointless.
Yeah, no, I just say that she's pointless. But no, Lily.
So would you have any advice for people, whether they're 14 and they've got options, or they're a bit older and they think, I might want to try this, that or something else? Have you got any advice for them? Should they go with their heart, or should they go to university, or should they do what their parents say?
I think it's more about embracing opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know it's very difficult sometimes to know which direction you want to go in.
Yeah.
But if an opportunity arises, go for it,
yeah.
I think. Have the courage to go for it.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter.
No, because you've tried
and then there's always something else.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily taking people's advice, but there are lots of role models that you could sort of, might resonate with you. You sort of think, I quite like the way that person's doing that. Maybe that's the sort of direction to go in.
Yeah.
I was very lucky, as I say, to have lots of people who were encouraging and supportive. And I think it's about giving your best. I was very lucky. My mum had a great work ethic.
Right.
And that really did sort of resonate with me and my sister likewise. So, and I think it's just putting 110% into things.
Yeah.
But also being prepared to not like things or
if you
to
don't
fail.
Like it, change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
There's nothing wrong with not liking,
no,
is there?
No. And it's an experience. It's not a failure. It's just an experience. And you learn so much from everything you do, really.
And a lot of those skills are transferable, aren't they?
A lot are transferable, yeah. Yeah. Just be brave.
Be brave. Oh, yes. Do you have a favourite tune that we could play at the end of this? It could be anything.
I do like classical music. I used to belong to the cantata choir, and I used to enjoy doing the more sort of highbrow music. But favourite tune, I Don't Want Much, I Just Want More. That was I'm trying to think who it's by, Barbara Streisand, I think.
Possibly. Yeah, we can find
that
it.
Like? It's one of those you just go for it.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Whatever you want, you can get a bit more.
Thank you so much for doing this interview, Kay.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really enjoyed
it's
listening
nice
to it.
It's nice to see
all.
You again. Yeah,
it was really, really good. We shall let you know when it's going to be broadcast.
Please do. Yeah.
If you would like to hear this or any other of the conversations again, go to the Vectis Radio webpage, vectisradio.com, and you can find it amongst the podcasts.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.